విపన్నాన్ విషపానేన నిగ్ర్యా భుజగాడిపం ఉత్థాప్యాపాయ యద్గావస్ తత్తోయం ప్రకృతి స్థితం. The inhabitants of Vrindavan were perplexed by great difficulties because a certain portion of the Yamuna was poisoned by the chief of the reptiles, Kaliya. The Lord chastised the snake king within the water and drove him away. And after coming out of the river, he caused the cows to drink the water and proved that the water was again in its natural state. So, today we will discuss about Kaliya, and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains Kaliya represents malicious pride, envy and snake-like crookedness. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that even though Krishna protected Kaliya, he punished Kaliya and then he released Kaliya, but because of his envious nature which he had exhibited, he ordered Kaliya to leave Braj. And very important point Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur makes, that even though Krishna saved Kaliya, but he could not become part of the loving devotees of Braj. There is one thing, that there is a class of people whom Krishna protects, but they are different from his loving devotees. So Kaliya could not become part of Krishna's confidential loving associates. He had to be chased away from that Vrindavan, and he was given shelter and he became part of those people whom Krishna protects. So giving protection to somebody doesn't mean that he is a great devotee. Yes, he is a devotee, but cannot be called as a confidential associate. Therefore, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami explains, even in Sharanagati there is two kind of Sharanagati. One Sharanagati is that you take shelter of Krishna exclusively with this understanding that Krishna will protect me. And another kind of Sharanagati, Rupa Goswami explains, is called as Atman Nivedanam. Atman Nivedan involves, he doesn't care if Krishna protects or does not protect. That is much higher than simply surrendering to Krishna. He offers everything of his without expecting protection. If it comes, he accepts it. If it does not come, he still continues to practice or serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that even if Krishna comes and tells his devotee, one who is practicing devotional service, he says, "My dear devotee, you are doing devotional service, that is okay. But according to your astrological chart, according to your future prediction, you will never attain me. Not only in this lifetime, but in entire existence, there is no chance that you will attain me. So there is no point for you to perform devotional service." When the Supreme Personality of God tells to a devotee like this, when the Lord Himself is coming and telling, so Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains, even after hearing this, what to speak of feeling despondency, a devotee, a real devotee of the Lord, a confidential associate of the Lord, does not even feel slightest hopelessness in regards to his conviction or his affection towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, that is a confidential devotee. So in this pastime we see how Lord Krishna dealt with Kaliya snake. Srila Sukadeva Goswami explains to Parikshit Maharaj, after the winter season is over, Krishna increases his pastimes. During the winter, because of the winter, it is explained that Krishna does not come out so often. And during the Pushya Nakshatra, which we celebrate Pushya Abhishek, that is the beginning when Krishna starts increasing his pastime. Because the winter is becoming less, and then Krishna comes out and performs his pastime with his loving devotees. So one day all the cowherd boys, along with Krishna, as usual, they came to the bank of Jamuna. And without any hesitation, the cowherd boys went and drank the water of Jamuna. And immediately after drinking the water of Jamuna, they fell and they died. And Krishna, by his nectarian glance, he revived all of his cowherd boys. And it is explained that the cowherd boys came to know that we were dead. Not that they felt they were unconscious, but they knew that they were dead, but Krishna revived them. And there was a discussion amongst the cowherd boys. How is that we revived? How could he revive us? Then one of the Sakha, he said, I remember I was there during Krishna's name-giving ceremony. When Gargacharya was performing name-giving ceremony to Krishna, some other I was there in that ceremony, and Gargacharya had predicted that this child will save you from all the dangers. So because we are the Brijvasis, we are from this Vrindavan town, so naturally Krishna is protecting us. And Sukadeva Goswami concludes the previous chapter and begins the fresh chapter. When Krishna, after reviving his cowherd boyfriends, he decided that this is the time that I should chase this Kali away from the lake of Jamuna. And it is explained that the Kaliyadha, even though it was part of Jamuna, but it was not from the main current. Therefore, even though Kaliya lake was full of poison, the full Jamuna river did not become poisonous. If it was so, then even the Mathura Vasis could have been affected by the poisonous water of Kaliya. And Sukadeva Goswami starts explaining that how powerful Kaliya's poison was. His poison was so great that no birds could fly over the lake. If they do, the birds would fall. And all around Kaliya lake, on the banks of the Kaliya lake, there are many holes. Nobody could approach. And all of these holes were filled with poisonous snakes. And there were long, long grasses. And then, again, these were poisonous grass also. And Sukadeva Goswami explains, even if the grass would fall into the river because of the poison, the grass would burn to fire. It become ashes. And nobody could drink any water. No cows, no bulls could go there to drink water. And Sridhar Goswami explains that this lake was 8 miles wide. Even the demigods could not approach this lake. So therefore, it was so difficult that this whole lake around that area was so unpleasant, nobody could approach. And Sanatana Goswami explains that how could Kaliya live in water? Snakes, usually there are some water snakes. But Kaliya, because he knew the art of Jalastambha, just like Duryodhana knew this art, they have the power to convert water into a solid brick-like thing. And Kaliya, within Yamuna, he created a huge palace and he was living with many of his wives. And Kavi Karanapur explains, when Kaliya was living in Yamuna, Yamuna was feeling that as if she was holding a ball of fire. Because all the time Yamuna was boiling because of the poison of Kaliya. And then when Krishna decided, I have to allow all the cowherd men to come there, all the cows to come and drink water, he made the decision to subdue this Kaliya. And Krishna came that day without his elder brother Balaram. And Sukadeva Goswami explains, just like a fighter prepares for a battle, what Krishna did was, he tied his cloth on his vest, and then he made a fist to have a nice battle. He tied his hair and he slapped his arm. Just like a wrestler, if you have seen a wrestling match, they have an akada. Before making all of this sound, it is not considered that you are nicely prepared. You have to be, you know, made prepared. So all these are preparation. Slapping the arms, tying your cloth properly, pulling your hair back and tying a cloth to that, and then making a fist. And then Krishna jumped into the tallest of the Kadamba tree. And the question is raised by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, how is that all vegetation was destroyed in and around Kaliya Lake? How this Kadamba tree was surviving there? Many reasons are given. One reason, it is explained when Garuda was, he snatched nectar from Indra. There is a long story in Mahabharata. Then the Garuda and snakes, they were cousin brothers. Their father had two wives, and Kadru and Suniti. What is that? Vinita. So, because Garuda's mother was considered a slave, and only if she was given nectar, the snake's wives, then she would be freed from her slavery. So Garuda, being a great bird, he actually got nectar from Indra. He stole nectar from Indra, and Indra could not do anything. So when he was carrying the nectar to give it to the mother of snakes, Kadru, he came and sat on this tree and tasted some nectar. And because of that, it is said that the tree had no problem. Another reason is given that Garuda knew that Lord Krishna is going to come here. So therefore he dropped some nectar. And third reason, that the Kadamba tree, knowing that Krishna is going to come, because everybody is conscious, not simply conscious, they are conscious about the future events also. Srila Prabhupada explains that those who do not accept future birth, those who don't accept about future events, they are beastly living entities. Because only the beast cannot understand what's going to happen in the future. But a man or a human being with a common sense can understand there is going to be some events based upon his previous experiences. So Kadamba tree, not only a common sense living entity, but he was a devotee of the Lord. So he knew that Krishna is going to come, therefore he protected from the poisonous effect. Another reason the acharyas give, simply when Krishna touched the dead Kadamba tree, because the touch of nectarian feet of the Lord, immediately that Kadamba tree revived. And then Krishna climbed on the top of the branch of the Kadamba tree, and from there he decided to jump. And Kavi Karanapur explains, Krishna was jumping like a kingfisher bird. He's going to catch his prey. And when Krishna jumped into the water, it is explained, the jump of the Lord was so deep. He went deep into the water, as if he's going to destroy the Patala Loka. And then Krishna slowly came up, And then as a lordly elephant, he started playing in the water. And he was splashing water. We see when the, you know, children or young people or people who are old, young at heart, when they enter inside the water, they start splashing. Even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was playing in Narendra Sarovar, even Sarovam Bhattacharya, Advaita Acharya, all sober persons, when they entered inside the water, they are playing like children. So when Krishna, who is always playing sports, when he entered inside the water, he was splashing. And with the splash of water, he was creating melodious sound. Different ragas were being played. But for the Kaliya, that voice was like a thunder. He could not tolerate that. When he saw that Krishna is making huge waves, he was splashing the water. In fact, when Krishna jumped into the river, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, the water flew so high, like 400 bow measurements. That high water raised. And when Krishna entered inside the water, because he was making tumultuous sound, he was playing in the water, and already the water was so poisonous. The flames would come out. And because Krishna started churning the water, it is explained, because of the poisonous effect, all the water, the flames, they turned into fire. And because of that fire, Kaliya became he was suffocated. Almost he was about to give up his body. His own poison was causing him trouble. And then Kaliya came out, seeing that some trespasser has come. And he saw the beautiful form of the Lord. Sukadeva Goswami explains, he saw how Krishna is so beautiful. But because he was demon, he could not appreciate it. Just see, because he was envious demon, even though he was able to see and describe the beauty of the Lord as any other devotee describes. But because he was envious, the beauty of Lord Krishna caused great anger in the heart of Kaliya. Even though Krishna's body is cool, when Krishna jumped into the water, it is explained that he was covered with sandalwood. And Kaliya could see that Krishna is covered with sandalwood. He was looking like a dazzling white cloud. He had a Kaustubha jewel. Even they saw that, for Kaliya it appeared to be a very strong fever. So it is said that when an envious person, anything which he sees is spiritual, one time, it's a very nice experience. I cannot forget this. One time we were distributing books, we had this huge bus and in Nasik, and one leper came, he was rolling in his small wheel. He came, he saw Lord Jagannath, Baldev Subhadra, the most merciful Gaur Nithai, Srila Prabhupada, Hare Krishna mantra was being played, and one of our devotees offered him prasad made in pure ghee. And he took that prasad and he was looking, and his look was so envious, we could feel he was not feeling any pleasure in seeing the Lord. He took that food and he dropped it on the ground and rolled over that prasad with great anger. I cannot forget that scene, that he had the facility to change. But what he did, he took the prasad, he threw it down, rolled over that. That is enviousness. Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was explaining one time, when he was distributing books in different libraries, he would go and show Krishna's picture, Krishna book, where, you know, the beautiful picture of Radha Krishna is there. And simply by the reaction of a person, he could understand that this person is not envious. He may be sinful but not envious, and he could preach him in great detail. And with others, by showing them the book, you know, he could see that this person is so envious of the Lord, and there was no need of preaching to him. One time Sachinandan Maharaj was mentioning, you know, one devotee, some other, he met this big rock star, who is suffering now very intensely. He showed in Krishna book the picture of Radha and Krishna. And he said, why this man is there? I should be there instead of him. That was his reaction. So therefore, Kaliya, even though he saw Krishna, he actually observed and analyzed Krishna's beauty, but that did not create appreciation in his heart. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains, when you become envious of somebody, that is indirect appreciation. Because you can't avoid seeing the spark of Krishna's splendor. It is quite obvious. It is all pervading. But when that strikes, when that is all encompassing, rather than appreciating it positively, if it hurts you, that means you are indirectly appreciating Krishna. Why not make it positive? Because being negative is going to cause a lot of disturbance in your life. You cannot avoid it. It is not possible. So Kaliya saw it, but indirectly he appreciated, and that caused greater anger in the heart of Kaliya. And then it is explained, Krishna, after jumping into the water, all the cowherd boys who were there, the cows were there, when they saw that Krishna has jumped into the water, and for some time he did not come out. Nobody knew what's happening with Krishna. So all the cowherd boys, seeing Krishna jump into the water, he is not to be seen, they became so disturbed, within no time they fell unconscious. All the cows wanted to cry, but they could not cry. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami explains, they were trying to cry. Why they could not cry? Because of great lamentation, sometimes when there is a greatest distress, very shocking distress, you cannot even cry. When you understand the level of distress, then you can cry. But when it is beyond your level, you become stunned like a rock. You don't even realize what's happening. So all the cows and bulls, they could not cry. The tears were not coming. They were like stunned. They were standing like a rock, totally distressed. But the cowherd boys, they fell unconscious. And then in Vrindavan, because Krishna was in the pasturing ground, and all the Vrijabasis, including Nanda Maharaj, were in their residence. Immediately in Vrindavan, there are different kind of ill omens. In the sky, in the earth, and on the bodies of the living creatures. There were tremors on the earth. There was earthquake. And the matter started falling. And on the body of the human being, the men started feeling that their eyes were quivering. They were, going back and forth. Whole body was shaking. And Srila Sridhar Goswami explains that when the left side of men starts shaking and the eyes quiver, that is inauspicious. And for the women, when it happens to the right side, that is considered as inauspicious. So everybody in Vrindavan was experiencing that simultaneously. And then Nanda Maharaj and other cowherd men became very fearful. They realized that something wrong is going to happen. And seeing such kind of ill omen, they concluded that Krishna is dead. And therefore the word is used, nidanam matva, that the Lord has given up his body. And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, how can God die? It is not possible for Krishna to give up his body. Then why is that the Brajbasis use the word nidanam? Nidanam also means the treasure. Nidanam also means dead. Nidanam also means treasure. So they are saying nidanam matva, that Krishna has attained the treasure. What was the treasure? The treasure was sporting in the Kaliya lake. He is going to perform wonderful pastime. So that is the treasure what Krishna has attained. So in this way, from their mouth appeared a very beautiful words. And then when Balaram saw the distress of the Brajabasis, they are running towards Kaliya lake, trying to find where Krishna is. But Balaram just smiled seeing the distress of the Brajabasis. Again, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains, Balaram smiled for two reasons. One reason is that, you know, why these Brajvasis are so scared? Do they not realize that Krishna is the Supreme Lord? And second reason was, Balaram was thinking, Krishna never played with me as Anantanag, as Anantashesh, and is playing with his ordinary insignificant Sikh. That is quite amusing. Therefore, Balaram was laughing. He only lies on me, but he doesn't play with me. But he is playing with his snake. So therefore, he was smiling. And then it is explained that all the Brajbasis headed by Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, they started running. And they were running exactly looking at the feet of Lord Krishna. The footprints of Lord Krishna were there on the land of Vrindavan. The question is raised, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, how is that lakhs of cows are going? How is that the footprints were not erased? Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains, because the Brajbasis, even the cows know the importance of Krishna's lotus footprints. Therefore, they would not erase the footprints of the Lord. So it was quite easy for the Brajbasis to see Krishna's footprints, which was covered with 21 marks. They could see barley corn, they could see thunderbolt, they could see elephant goat. And in this way, following the marks of Lord Krishna, they came to the place where Krishna was captured by Kaliya. And when all the Brajbasis came there, Nanda Maharaj started inquiring from the boys who were all unconscious. He said, how this happened? Is it that Krishna on his own decided to jump? Or somebody else pushed him down? Was it his own decision or somebody else told him to do it? He was trying to get the answer from the coward boys, but there was no answer because all of them were unconscious. And then all the gopis seeing Krishna in such a great distress, they could saw Krishna being captured by Kaliya. And all the gopis, they started crying, lamenting. Yashoda was almost unconscious. And just to revive Yashoda, the elderly gopis started remembering Krishna's pastimes. All the pastimes of the Lord, how Krishna killed different demons, how Krishna ate butter, just to make Yashoda absorbed in Krishna's pastimes. And then it is explained that all the women, they fell unconscious, they fell onto the ground like a creeper broken down by the heavy wind. And all the men fell down like a tree toppled by the heavy wind. And then Balaramji, seeing that all the Brajvasis, especially Nanda Maharaj and others, were about to enter into the water, Srila Sanatana Goswami explains, Balaram was stopping by a different way. With some people he was talking to them very strongly. And with some he was holding them. He said, you cannot enter inside. And with some, simply by his smiling glance, he was stopping them. He said, no need to enter water. And then it is explained that Balaramji was speaking, now if you enter into the water, what will happen when Krishna comes out of the water? Who will take care of him? Once you enter inside the water, because Kaliya Lake is so poisonous, all of you will be dead. So Krishna will come out. And he's a young child. Who will protect him? So therefore, better you don't enter inside the water. Just watch. And then Krishna emerged from the Kaliya Lake. He was clearly visible. And he told Kaliya, my dear Kaliya, now you have exhibited your strength up to this time. Now I will exhibit my strength, even though I am an ordinary coward boy. Because Krishna was seeing the distress of the Brajvasis. He could not stand that I have put them into such a great distress. Now let me show my power to Kaliya. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that for 48 minutes, one muhurta is called as 48 minutes, Krishna was under the grip of Kaliya. And when Krishna raised, it appeared that a full moon was surrounded by the black tamal tree's branch. It was a very beautiful scene. This is how Kavi Karanapur describes. Krishna's being caught by the Kaliya's hoods was like a moon surrounded by the branch of a beautiful tree, black tree. And when Krishna came up, and he expanded his body, without increasing his size. That is the inconceivable potency. When he did that, Kaliya could not hold the grip of the Lord. And because of that, his body became very pained. And he started hissing. He was emitting poison. And it is explained, his nostrils appeared like the vessels of cooking poison. And Srila Kavikaranupur explains, his mouth was like a pan where the ghee was being boiled. When, if you see, the butter is being boiled, you know, the balls, it boils and makes lot of sound. So similarly, Kaliya's mouth was making lot of sound. Because Krishna was putting lot of pressure on Kaliya. And Kaliya had to release Krishna. And he was licking with his tongue, he was licking his lips. And he was hissing very loudly. And then Krishna, after releasing himself, it is explained, Krishna started moving around Kaliya. By moving so much, this is a regular trick of the Lord. Even with Kuvali appeared an elephant, before striking him, Krishna and Balram were moving around. When you make somebody circumambulate so much, you become dizzy. And then you strike him. So similarly, Krishna, he went around very fast. And Kali was also trying to move around Krishna. And he lost all of his strength. Then Krishna jumped on the hoods of Kaliya. And when Krishna jumped on the hoods of Kaliya, it is explained, he started dancing very beautifully. Whenever Kaliya would raise one of his hoods, Krishna would smash it. Again another hoods, again Krishna would smash it. Kaliya had 100 prominent hoods and 1000 secondary hoods. And Krishna was jumping on them. And because Kaliya had got pearls or gems on every hood, and because Krishna was jumping on them, his lotus feet become very reddish. And because of that reddish lotus feet, it was reflecting on the lake of Kaliya. It became totally reddish, appearing very, very beautiful. And seeing Krishna jump on the Kaliya hood, not only jump, dance, all the demigods, Brahma came there, Lord Shiva came there, Hanuman came there, many demigods, Gandharvas, Apsaras came there, and they're trying to assist Krishna by playing drums. But because Krishna's dancing so expertly, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, Krishna had his own style of dancing. And nobody could play with Krishna. Nobody could dance along with Krishna. Nobody could play drums along with Krishna. Nobody could sing properly. For some time they could do it. But when Krishna increased his vigor, when he increased the speed, then none of the demigods and Gandharvas could follow. So what they did was, they independently started dancing on their own. Because they were taking great pleasure. And some demigods, seeing the dance of Lord Krishna, they were constantly showering flowers. Everybody was enjoying. Now all the Brajvasis also were enjoying, except Kaliya. Because you can imagine, when Krishna decides his lotus feet, it became like a thunderbolt. We discussed this, that when Krishna's lotus feet acts as like a thunderbolt, it can crush the mountain like anarthas. Then Krishna was jumping on the hoods of Kaliya, Kaliya was losing all of his strength. But still, because he was envious, he was still trying to raise his hoods and try to smash Krishna, try to bite Krishna. But Krishna did not allow Kaliya. He kept on jumping, kept on dancing. And then Prabhupada explains, first all the blood started coming out of his mouth, from all of his hoods. Then all the poison started coming out. In this way, Kaliya gave up all of his vile contamination. When all of his contamination went out, then within his heart, he realized that, I am fighting with somebody who is 1000 times more powerful than my arch enemy Garuda. How can I fight him? It is not possible. How this understanding came to Kaliya? Because Kaliya's wives were great devotees of the Lord. And because they were great devotees of the Lord, they would keep telling about Krishna to Kaliya. But he would not listen. But because still they were telling Kaliya, there was Ajyata Sukriti. It is explained that when we preach Krishna consciousness, sometimes devotees ask these questions or we have these experiences that we preach to somebody and there is absolutely no reaction from a such person. He just is like a, you know, stone. He does not react at all. And we feel that our preaching is useless. But one devotee was saying that when you preach to somebody, even though there is no reaction from him, because he feels that my situation is very good, why should I listen to him? But because of preaching, there will be a time in his life, he will be put in a most difficult situation, where nobody can help him. Then that preaching is there in the back of his mind. The knowledge of Krishna consciousness, he always remains fresh. May not be he's using it because of his circumstantial conditions, but when his circumstances change, he's in most difficult situation, it is quite natural that he will remember, yes, this person had told me something like that. There are instances where a devotee had preached one person 25 years back, spent so much of time, but he never changed his life. And he came back after 25 years. One devotee asked him, how is that you are here? He said, I had heard about Krishna 25 years back. Now I'm in great trouble. So Kaliya's wife would keep preaching to their husband, but he would not listen. Why? Because there was great pride. But now you're seeing his condition was so painful, he naturally remembered the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In that remembrance, he became very sober. He became hopeless against himself. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that is called a Sanchari Bhav. And seeing their husband become very humble, before this Kaliya's wife, seeing their husband being very arrogant, very envious, they would pray to Krishna. Then let us all become widows. Let Krishna kill our husband. Because this person is so nasty that he does not change. Therefore let him be killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by becoming widows, we can engage in Krishna's service exclusively. But by seeing his change, immediately they change their decisions. All of the Kaliya's wives, they went along with their children and they started beautifully praising the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They requested the Lord, my dear Lord Krishna, please protect our husband. And Krishna had no intention to stop dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. But by hearing the prayers of the wives of the Kaliya, it is explained, immediately Krishna jumped down from the Kaliya's hoods. And Kaliya was so battered by the dance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is explained he could not even bow down to the Lord. Again the same condition. Simply within his mind and with his hands, I don't know where he had his hands, but that's how it is written, that he folded. And then he had heard the prayers offered by the wives of the Kaliya, his own wives. And Sanatana Goswami explains that he had no intelligence. His intelligence had become completely destroyed by the dance of the Lord. He could not compose his own prayers. He simply paraphrased the prayers of his wives. And he started offering prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Very beautiful prayers he offered. He said, my dear Lord, that we being snakes, we have this natural condition of what? Being angry and envious for no reason. And because we have this quality, what does it do? It makes us to identify with something which is unreal. Very beautiful. He said, because of our nature, which is envious and anger, we always identify with something which is unreal. And that is the nature of a materialistic person. He always identifies with something which is unreal. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur explains, when he prays to Lord Chaitanya, he says, my dear Lord, I work very hard for what? Not to gain some material pleasure. I work very hard to lose the nectar of Krishna consciousness. To be unconscious of Krishna, it is not natural for the living entity. To be conscious of Krishna is natural for the living entity. And one devotee was saying, you know, one IIT Gaurangpur was telling this, one of the IIT student who was coming to, you know, their classes regularly was chanting. And eventually, he went for work and he lost his association and he gave up chanting. And once he had a scooter accident, he fell from the scooter and for some time he lost his memory. He was hospitalized, he was unconscious, he lost his memory. When he got back to consciousness, the doctor told that, you know what, when you are unconscious, you are chanting some mantras. Hare Krishna something, Krishna Krishna. Just see, he consciously forgot Krishna. But when he was unconscious, he was chanting Hare Krishna. So that is how it works. That the living entity, he endeavors to forget Krishna. Otherwise, devotional service is quite natural for all the living entities. Why? Because that is our constitutional position. Therefore, Sukhdev Goswami was asked by Parikshit Maharaj, My dear Sukhdev Goswami, how is that? All the Brajbasis, all the covered men, covered women, they were more attracted to Krishna other than own children. Sukhdev Goswami said, that is not a difficult problem. So for a living entity, it is that his own soul, he likes or he loves more than anybody else his own self. But who is that self? That self is the part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore it is quite natural for the self to love the Supreme Self. So therefore all the Brajbasis, they could naturally love Krishna, who is their Supreme Self. So all these prayers were offered by Kaliya, because of our culturing myself, envy and anger, what I am doing? I am identifying with something which is not real. And because I am identifying with something unreal, that is causing me not to practice your devotional service. And then he told, my dear Lord, now you decide. If you want to favor me or you want to punish me, whatever you do, I am willing to accept. Then Krishna, seeing the prayers of Kaliya, he said, my dear Kaliya, immediately you have to leave this place. This is how, even though Krishna protected Kaliya, he did not give shelter in Vrindavan. He said, immediately you have to leave this place. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, why Krishna gave this order? Because he was expecting that Kaliya might request. Before he requests, Krishna wanted to make it very clear that don't stay here. Sometime we see that we want to tell something to somebody that is doing something wrong, but we don't tell thinking that he'll feel bad. So Krishna is teaching the communication skills. Better you tell in the beginning only. Otherwise, eventually the problem becomes much bigger. Better communicate properly, rather than thinking, you know, he will feel bad. It will happen. He'll feel bad. So better, Krishna, what he did? What he did? He told Kaliya, you cannot stay in this place. You have to go back to the Ramanaka island where you came from. Go there and nothing will happen to you. Because this place has to be converted into a holy place. And anyone who takes bath in this place will become very auspicious. And anyone who narrates this pastime morning and evening will become very auspicious. And anyone who hears this pastime will be freed from the snake bite. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that particular shloka, verse number 61, one can refer to that. That is the mantra. By chanting this verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you should never be feared by the snake, because the snakes will not bite you. And then Krishna explains, after Kaliya was freed, the Kaliya came to the Lord. He said, my dear Lord, unfortunately because of my poison, I made your body burn. So I want to apply Chandan to you. And all the Kaliya and Kaliya snakes, they applied Chandan for the Lord. Everything is happening in the water only. Chandan is supposed to melt in the water. But some other by the inconceivable potency of the Lord, they applied the chandan to the Lord and they made his body cool down. And Krishna in turn, he touched his hand on the hoods of Kaliya and Kaliya was freed from all kinds of pain. And then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, now you leave this place. And Kaliya saying, told, my dear Lord, now you have made me famous. Because you have touched me, your lotus footprints are there on my hoods. This is not possible for so many people, but you have done for me. I am so fortunate. And then Kaliya decided to offer some gifts to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it is explained he went down again into the water because he had his own treasury and got all different kinds of valuable gifts. And along with that gift there was also Kaustubha Jan he offered to Krishna. How is that Kaliya can offer Kaustubha Jan to Krishna? Because Kaustubha Jan eternally belongs to the Lord. When Krishna was dancing on the hoods of Kaliya, purposefully Krishna, in great excitement, he dropped his Kaustubha Jal directly to the treasury of Kaliya. It directly entered inside the treasury of Kaliya. So that eventually Kaliya can gift Krishna the same Kaustubha jewel. But Kaliya didn't know that this jewel eternally belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is how Krishna performs. So Kaliya offered that gift to Krishna. Krishna accepted it. And then while living, Kaliya told, my dear Lord, I'll go to the Ramanaka lake. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explained that Krishna performed this Adbhuta Karma. What is Adbhuta Karma Krishna performed with Kaliya? That Krishna saved Kaliya from the offenses against the Brajvasis. And also he gave protection from Garuda. Because now onwards Garuda would never catch Kaliya, he would never trouble Kaliya. Why? Because whenever there is footprints of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Garuda does not do anything. So in this way, Krishna is performing Adbhuta Karma. When Kaliya is going back to the Ramanaka island, it is explained that Kaliya said, my dear Lord, whenever you have to go to anywhere, you please call me so that I can render service to you. Whenever my elder brother Garuda is not there. Garuda is his brother, but still he had become arch enemy. Even in Dwapara Yuga this was possible. So Lord, he told Kaliya, told Lord, my dear Lord, whenever my elder brother is not there, you call me. And immediately, so fast I will come to you and I will carry you wherever you want. So some Puranas explain that in other Yugas, when Krishna performs his pastime in some other millennium, rather than going on the chariot of Kamsa, Krishna will go on the back of the Kaliya to Mathura to kill Kamsa. So in this way, you know, the pastimes are the same. Sometimes there is detail in pastimes. Rather than going on the chariot of Kamsa, Krishna would go on the back of Kaliya. And then immediately Krishna, since Kaliya left that lake, the whole water became very pure. And Krishna proved that now this water can be drunk. And all the cows, all the bulls came there ready to drink that water. And Parikshit Maharaj, after hearing this story, he said, how is that Kaliya came to that lake? What was the story? And Shukadeva Goswami explained that Kaliya was living in the Nagaloka. The Ramanaka island was in Nagalok. And Garuda, because his natural food is to eat snakes, eat fish, and he would come time to time there. And because Garuda is great, he would capture so many snakes. And that caused great fear in the heart of the snakes. They approached their leader Vasuki, and Vasuki approached Brahma, and he told, look, this Garuda is destroying us. And Lord Brahma told Garuda, you can come once in a 15 days. And they will keep as an offering to you. And you eat that, don't trouble them. Garuda agreed. But the Kaliya was so puffed up. He said, why should I allow this to happen? And he would eat the offering of Garuda regularly. And one day Garuda smashed him so badly that Kaliya ran away from Ramanaka lake and he took shelter in Yamuna. Why he came there? It is explained that Shaubari Muni, the great mystic yogi, was performing tapasya inside the water. And because he was living inside the water, he naturally developed friendship towards the fish. And Garuda would also come to Yamuna water and would capture the fish. So then Shaubari Muni told, "My dear Garuda, look, you don't come here, you are disturbing the fish. And if you ever come here, you know, it is, you don't come and eat here." And Garuda decided, "Okay, I will not eat anything, I will follow the instruction of this great sage." Even though he is not supposed to follow, because he is much greater than Shaubari Muni, and that was proved later. And Garuda just picked up one big fish. And seeing that the leader of the fish has been caught by Garuda, Shaubari Muni became very angry. And he did something beyond his capacity, what he was not supposed to do. He cursed the agent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, saying that, "If you come to the lake, you will be dead." And just to respect the sage, Garuda would not come there, and Kaliya knew about this. Therefore, he took shelter in that lake. And of course, because Shaubari Muni cursed Garuda, he fell down eventually. He was living in the water so that he can be freed from all kinds of influence of Maya, that I should not be affected by the objects of the senses. But right in the water, now who can be agitated by seeing, you know, the sensual activities of the fish? That was the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That simply by seeing ordinary fish engage in sense gratification, he developed such a strong desire. And that is said that because he offended Garuda. Therefore he came out of the water, he gave up all of his tapasya. Not even a regular householder, he became big sense enjoyer. He did not marry one woman, he married more than 50. And he enjoyed unlimited sense gratification. And that was all because he offended Krishna's agent Garuda. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that Kaliya represents envy. And what is this envy? And where does envy lead? Envy is very passive. And eventually that envy turns into cruelty. And cruelty is very active. An envious person has to become very active in the form of mentally offensive, verbally offensive, and eventually physically offensive. It is said that the envious person, when he performs some sinful activities, it is explained, the envious person, he can only praise those who cannot surpass him. He will only train people much lesser than himself. And if he realizes that he is going beyond me, he is becoming better than me, then what does he do? He censures his progress. He does not allow him to progress. And the envious person, it is explained, he is always surrounded by the prosperity of others. And when he sees that the people are prospering all around him, and that prosperity is like a fire to him. Just like a scorpion, if it is surrounded by fire, what does it do? It bites itself. It stings itself. And when the scorpion stings itself, the fire is there, and the poison of sting is there, and because of that, it kills itself. So similarly, envious person, by becoming envious of others' prosperity, it is not that he can harm others. By exhibition of his own envy, what does he do? He kills own spiritual life. And Kaliya represents that. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that an envious person, even if he is converted, just to protect the artless lover of Vrindavan, he uses this word that Brajvasis, they don't know the exact, the material art, they are artless lover. Their love for Krishna is quite rough. But that is very much liked by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In their dealings with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are not very much, they don't exhibit the etiquette which normal people exhibit. their love is artless, and that is the love of Vrindavan. And such malicious people are not allowed to come in the association of Brajavasis, and they are thrown away from the land of Vrindavan. They may be given protection, but they can never become part of the main group. So therefore, envy is such a dangerous and very powerful element which causes one to lose one's spiritual consciousness. And envy can come at any time. Srila Prabhupada would explain, it's quite amazing to see that his god brothers, again, we have no right to speak about his god brothers. They are too high. Even though circumstantially they exhibited some kind of envy, that they would not wanted to proper to have his temples close to their temples. And exactly this is what the problem of Kaliya was. Kaliya was not a demon. Kaliya was a sage who was performing tapasya in one place, and then it is explained that the name of this sage was Vedasira, and this Vedasira demon was performing tapasya, and another sage came, his name was Ashwasira. He came to the ashram of Vedasira to perform tapasya. Now just see, tapasya is supposed to purify you. But when the second person came to perform tapasya, he became so angry with Ashwasira, he started hissing at him. He said, why you have come to my place? Get out of my place. And seeing this, Ashwasira said, what is this? He said, you are performing tapasya, but at the same time you are hissing like a snake. You are envious of me, therefore I curse you that you become a snake. Now you can imagine, such a great sage, he was not doing a materialistic activity, he was doing a spiritual activity, but still he could not be freed from the principle of envy, that he will take over my thing. And therefore, because of that envy, he was trying to, you know, chase away another sage. And Prabhupada experienced from his god brothers also. And therefore, many times he would say that just see, they cannot stand the prosperity of my temples, and therefore they are being envious. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also testing his devotees. And what kind of devotees was testing? Not ordinary devotees. All big devotees. And what was he testing them? He was not testing their sadhana. He was testing their heart. Then he saw that Rupa Goswami has compiled very beautiful poems praising the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Next day Kaviraj Goswami explains, he brought all the devotees to the place where Rupa Goswami was residing. And he made everyone hear the composition of Rupa Goswami. And he was looking at all of his devotees, what will be their reaction. He was saying, do they become envious or they praise Rupa Goswami's composition? And of course, because they are Lord Chaitanya's devotees, immediately they encouraged, they became so happy by seeing the composition of Rupa Goswami. And seeing the happiness of his devotees, Lord Chaitanya became very happy. They passed the test of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They did not exhibit the envious mentality. And unfortunately, it is our character, we, rather than being envious of the spiritual qualities, rather than trying to, you know, inculcate those spiritual qualities, we become envious of the externals, the manifestation of the spiritual qualities. When somebody becomes very spiritually powerful, naturally becomes famous, then we try to become envious of his fame, rather than seeing the substance. Just like if somebody can sing nicely, if there is a singer and if he finds that there is a better singer, he doesn't see the devotion part. What does he do? He sees the singing part. Unfortunately, all of us, we are covered by the externals. And even though the externals have nothing to do with spiritual life, they do not give rise to devotion. They can be doubted in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but unfortunately we become envious of the externals. Ramchandra Kaviraj did not become envious of Haridas Thakur's spiritual power. He became envious of Haridas Thakur's fame. He wanted to become famous like Haridas Thakur. Therefore he wanted to destroy Haridas Thakur. Srila Prabhupada explains, competition cannot be avoided. It is natural. Even in the spiritual realm, the competition is there. There is left-wing gopis, there is right-wing gopis. But the competition is for what? To increase Krishna's service. Not to minimize Krishna's service. During our book distribution marathon, you know, Radhananda Maharaj giving one class, he said, you distribute so many books and still stay last. So that when you distribute large number of books, it will give a challenge to the other temples to distribute more books. And if they can distribute more books than us, and we stay behind, that is our success. It's a very, very high stuff, very difficult to attain. That you have distributed maximum number of books, sometimes you don't want to tell our score also. So that if we tell our score, they might distribute more than us. So by not telling what we are doing, we are minimizing the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the real thing is that when you tell, this much is supposed to be done, that means you are inspiring others. Therefore when we do our sadhana, that's what we are saying, that it should not be a private affair. Why should it be a private affair? Why only I should get benefit? When they see that, okay, you are doing so much of devotional service, then let others also perform that much. Because unless and until we do it in a union, in a congregation, there will not be an effect. A devotional effect can be attained only in congregation, not privately. That is not possible, especially in this age of Kali. One cannot become super excellent one person. It is not possible. We always need a support. And therefore, an envious person cannot live in the place where there is a dependency. He cannot. He always wants to be independent. A dependency involves free from envy. Therefore, in Vrindavan, it is explained that the Brijvasis are innocent lovers. They have got great innocency. They don't know what is envy. They don't know what is pride. Everything is for the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are so innocent, the Brijvasis, when Krishna was lifting Govardhan Hill, and he was lifting it for many, many days, and all the coward boys were so happy seeing Krishna lift Govardhan Hill, and they were thinking, if he can do it, we can also do it. Not out of envious. Thinking that he is also one amongst us. And one of the coward boys, he told Krishna, my dear Krishna, you are lifting Govardhan Hill for 7 days, why don't you give it to Sudama? Let him carry it. He can also do it. So that we can massage your hand. So even they are thinking that I can do it, is meant to serve Krishna only, not to compete with Krishna. He said, let him carry that Govardhan Hill, so that we can massage your hand. And they said, but if you don't think that he can lift, you have a doubt about his strength, then at least you change your hand. From the left hand, you bring it to the right hand, so that we can massage your left hand. That is the innocency of the Brijvasis. And therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that unless one is freed from this envy, otherwise this envy will lead into cruelty. It is quite possible. So many people during Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they tried to kill him. And not that some materialist people wanted to kill him. The people wanted to kill him were sadhus only. Those who were practicing Gaur Bhajan only. They were the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. They wanted to kill him. How is it possible? Somebody is doing bhajan of Lord Chaitanya, but seeing the progress of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, seeing the preaching of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they wanted to kill him. They paid money to a police inspector, 25,000 rupees in those times. All the money which was given by the public to be engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead was used to kill one great devotee. If this can happen to such people, it can easily happen to us also. And then Prabhupada's God brothers, you know, they went into the court, spent all the money of Gaudiya Math. Prabhupada writes that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur never wanted legal implications. And all the money of Gaudiya Math was spent in the court just so that who can get this property, who can get that property. And history always repeats itself. It always happens. So therefore, if anyone has to try to overcome our anarthas, and this is the biggest anartha. Chanting 64 rounds, fasting on Ekadashi day, it all depends upon one's bodily, you know, if your guna is like that, if you don't have a pitta prakriti, then one can fast easily, no problem. And if somebody has a pitta prakriti, he cannot fast. We have seen some devotees those who do nirjal Ekadashi, they do every Ekadashi nirjal, no problem for them. And when we do nirjal Ekadashi, we make big news, no? Because we have a problem with our body. So if somebody has that kind of body based upon his three gunas, sattva, rajo and tamo guna, it's quite easy for him. One can walk 50 kilometers, 150 kilometers, depending upon his body. But that is not a big deal. The big thing is that, can we overcome the principle of envy? And this is going to be there, everyone has to go through this. If Lord Chaitanya's devotee, the eternal associates, had to go through this, certainly Krishna is going to test us. And only when we pass, then we become part of Braj Bhakti. Because Braj Bhakti involves freedom from envy. And therefore Srila Prabhupada exhibited this character. When he established Krishna consciousness movement, it was flourishing. And while it was flourishing, he called one of his god brother. He said, you become the president. Co-president along with me, and we will spread this movement all over the world. Usually sometimes we see that, you know, somebody becomes envious of us. We say, just he's so envious of me. But we are proud. That is also a danger. Therefore here, Kaliya represents pride and also envy. Success is also a problem and a failure is also a problem. Both are problem in spiritual life. If you become success in some endeavor, it is natural that you have to overcome the principle of pride. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada in great humility, when he was about to pass from this world, again, a devotee sees as a practitioner, Anu Nitya Siddha Bhakta, he teaches how to practice Krishna consciousness. During his departure, he called all of his God brothers. And he said, maybe I became proud of my achievements. And therefore I spoke so harshly. I called people fools, I called people rascals. This is how a devotee sees. He does not only see that, you know, people are becoming envious of me, they want to pull me down. He also sees that maybe I have become proud. Even the Prabhupada was not proud. And he said, please forgive me, because I became proud. I became proud and therefore I called so many people, so many things. And his God brother is saying, no, Prabhupada, you never became proud. You are not fallen. You are actually Patita Pavan. You are not Patit, but you are Patita Pavan. So therefore, either this will be the problem because of our background, materialistic background, we may materially become successful. That will rise to pride. Or if you are not successful, it will rise to envy. So these are the two biggest obstacles. Because in the spiritual world, that was the original sin was created by us. What was that? The sin of becoming envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that flavor is still there. And whenever we see Krishna appearing in different form, spark of the splendor, any spark of the splendor it appears, immediately our original sin comes to the surface. In the form of, Srila Prabhupada told one time one sannyasi, he took sannyas, after taking sannyas, He asked, Prabhupada, what is your instruction? What should I do? Prabhupada said, when you go to the house of the householders, when you go to the house of the rich householders, don't become envious of them and don't feel that I'm missing something. Then you lose the potency for your sannyas. He said, when you go there, when you see the nice arrangement of a householder and you only have a danda and two sets of saffron cloth, you might lament, oh, I am losing. Or you might become envious. And therefore it is seen sometime, a preacher is also, he preaches strongly, not because he is compassionate, because he is envious. A real compassionate person, seeing somebody doing something wrong, he doesn't become angry. Sometimes we see some people engaged in sense gratification in a very elaborate way. They are breaking all regulative principle. They got all the facilities to engage in all kinds of sinful activities. We become angry rather than compassionate. That is the difference. That if we become angry, that means there is a desire that I also want to do like that. But I am not getting the facility. So therefore condemning, using, taking the shelter of the scripture. Therefore, when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted to send to America or the Western world, he wanted to send someone who would not be impressed by the Western civilization. Why? If you become impressed by the Western civilization, then you want to be like them. One sannyasi told Prabhupada. He said, Swamiji, when you go to the West, what you have to do, you have to change. You should stop eating from your hand. You have to use forks. You have to do so many adjustments. But what was it? It was nothing but he was impressed by that civilization. And Prabhupada would always say that I was never impressed by Western civilization. In fact, he impressed his civilization to the Western people. They were eating with spoon, they stopped, they started eating with their hands. They were eating bread, they started eating chapatis. He made them eat rice. He made them eat dal. He made them wear simple clothes. Why? Because he was never impressed. Therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say, to preach Krishna consciousness, we have to crush this glittering civilization. Because when you see the glitter, you want to be like them, at least for some time. Let me enjoy that. Then how can we preach? So therefore, to preach Krishna consciousness, it is a natural thing that one has to be freed from envy. Otherwise, we might preach, but what we preach? And we remember one time there was one devotee, he was a brahmachari in the temple, and whenever he would preach, afterwards Radhanand Maharaj would talk about his talks. What he would do was, he would condemn, so heavily he would condemn, you know, the householders, the grihastha life. It was quite offensive, and he would take complete shelter of the scripture. When you want to do something wrong, that time you take greater shelter of scripture. And you take shelter of the scripture and you speak very, very harsh language. And he was influencing the brahmacharis also. And then eventually, because he was always contemplating on that, he became like that. He actually became like that. He became also an enjoyer in an illicit way. You cannot avoid that. If you do not have real compassion, then Shukadev Goswami does it very harshly, as Gopinath was saying, he was not doing out of, you know, enviousness or feeling that I don't have it, therefore I speak this. He was doing out of great compassion. Therefore, who should use those language is also a different matter. So when we understand this principle as taught by Srila Prabhupada, even the Prabhupada would speak harshly sometime. But with the same people like George Harrison. No, he was, if you see his life, it's not that he was able to practice four regulative principles strictly. No? He had his own life. But because he had some affection, Prabhupada was so affectionate to him. He would preach to him. One time he came to Srila Prabhupada. And he went inside directly to Prabhupada and he offered his obeisances. And he asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, can I shave myself and become full-time devotee? Now Prabhupada realizing that making him a full-time devotee would give great fame to his society. Great fame could have been achieved by making him a full-time devotee, and he was ready. He had offered his obeisances. Prabhupada said, no need. He said, you preach underground. Keep preaching Krishna consciousness in your own way. I will teach you some songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Narottam Das Thakur. You convert them into English and preach underground. He told one more such person. He was a famous tennis consultant. He would teach. He came to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada preached to him for 3 hours. Only 3 hours. And again, Prabhupada told him, you don't need to change anything. He was a sportsman. And sport is one of gambling. It is against regulative principle. But Prabhupada told him, continue whatever you are doing. You preach underground Krishna consciousness. And this man, he took the cause of vegetarianism. And he started preaching vegetarianism. And he explains in one of his talks, this is Peter Burwash. He says that, I don't go as a devotee, but I know my audience. And his preaching in regards to vegetarianism is so powerful, much powerful than the devotee's preaching. He was successful in closing 2 ranches, you can imagine. 2 big ranches in Australia, the owners, he convinced the cause of vegetarianism, they closed down their business. None of the devotees are able to do it. Why? Because he preached according to what Prabhupada gave to him and he was underground. So therefore we see that a great devotee of the Lord, he does not see his personal motivation, he sees what is the good for the person and gives instruction according to the benefit of their devotee, that benefit of that person, without feeling any kind of envy or pride or possessiveness. Then only we can enter into the land of Vrindavan and perform pure devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Kaliya represents this anartha, the anartha of malice, envy, cruelty and pride. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. And if, yes. That is what we have to learn from each other. The question is, we know that this is the biggest problem, the envy and pride. How to overcome this? I remember when I joined, I would always feel that now it is easy to respect everyone because, you know, people are senior to me. But the real challenge is that when we grow, and especially if you are staying in the ashram, many, many young people will come. And when the young people come, you know, they may exhibit better devotional prospects. You know, they become better than us. They advance better than us. It will happen. Because simply I joined few years back doesn't mean that at the background. Somebody may join after 15 years, but he may be performing devotional service many lifetime. And naturally, when he starts, he picks up Krishna consciousness so fast, you know, he preaches so nicely, then that is a real challenge. Then what will you do? Will you try to pull him down? Therefore it is an austerity, it is a struggle. Therefore, we were discussing in Bhagavatam class, you know, it allows you to become subordinate. You have to hear from them. In many places, it is only the president and few seniors will speak. They will never allow the younger people to speak. One time, one devotee came to Shyamanand Prabhu, you know, and he was telling, you know, I was kicked out of my temple. He said, why were you kicked out? And this devotee said, that my president told, I am one president and there is one preacher. We don't need the second preacher. If there is a second preacher, there will be a competition, so you better go out of this place. No? He said, you better go out of this place because there will be a competition between 2 preachers. One is sufficient, so that others should not be educated to be a preacher. Just see. So here, some other, fortunately, No, even we are so-called seniors just because being in the temple, but the situation is created that even if somebody is younger and if he is advancing, then you give him the position. Therefore, the whole process of Krishna consciousness is not to become possessive. The Vedic culture teaches that somebody may be subordinate to you for some time. And according to his background, if he is a Brahmana, you cannot make him subordinate for all the time. He will rebel. That is not the nature of a Brahman. You teach him, when you see that this person is quite matured, he learns very fast, then you have to release him. He becomes independent. He becomes independent of you. Then you no more have control over him, rather you only become friendship with him. This will happen. Just like, you know, when we started in the ashram, there were three, four. First there was one president, then Maharaj made, okay, three, four presidents. Why the same? That if there is one person becomes successful, he becomes proud. So better four, five are there. Everyone can share. And then from four, it became 10. From 10, it became 16. That means, even if somebody is a junior, but if he is qualified, he becomes your equal. You no more have a control. And that is the biggest challenge for a preacher. A preacher will preach a person, he makes him a devotee, he thinks that he has made a devotee. He should not think that I made a devotee. He might think, a person who has been preached, he can think. And then once you see that he is growing up, he is becoming matured, you leave him alone. Srila Prabhupada said that we don't kill the spirit of independence. Devotional service involves that engaging in Krishna service with an independent desire. Because everybody has a different way of acting. I cannot superimpose my style to somebody, even though I preach to him. Because he is made of a different elements. He may follow or he may not follow. Prabhupada, his Guru Maharaj did not eat mangoes. But it is not that he has to be superimposed that your Guru did not eat mango, therefore you also don't eat. He enjoyed mangoes. So that is one of the way that, especially for the leaders, envy comes when we grow, because that is a subtler anartha. In the beginning days of our spiritual life, it is, you know, the normal anarthas. No, like somebody chants Hare Krishna, but he can't give up eating betel nuts. Now that is not a big thing. Or somebody smokes cigarette and he is chanting Hare Krishna and he is thinking, how can I give up? That is not a big anartha. But the real anartha start growing. It is explained when you grow in devotional service. Bhakti Vidyapurana Maharaj is explaining, before the anarthas are like, you know, going everywhere here and there. But when you become more and more senior, they become like laser sharp, concentrated. And that is most difficult one. Most difficult one. And for that, there has to be more endeavor. Not possessing anything. Therefore, one devotee was mentioning, if somebody says that he is my disciple, that is not Vaishnava etiquette. What is that? If somebody says that he is my disciple, you may do it because, you know, there is a practicalities. But if you think that he is my disciple, that is wrong. And somebody, more arrogance is that, to say that I am his guru. So similarly, you know, I may be a counselor, if I say this is my counselee, or I say I am his counselor, he said, then you don't know the art of Vaishnavism. Because Prabhupada said to all of his disciples, you are my gurus. So therefore, to overcome this, there is a facility, there is a system that, and most of the time, you know, this possessiveness is very dangerous one. Especially for a preacher. No, it's a very dangerous one.
Get more he or she doesn't get involved, that somehow or the other the situation comes that he gets involved in several counseling sessions. And the counselor is telling that you are getting involved in my counseling affair. So how do we know whether it's our possessive nature is telling us so, or it is our helping nature?
Therefore, in devotional life, there is always a question is that if there is a counselee of one particular counselor, he is getting involved in the, you know, the activities of another counselee. Now he is helping or doing something, and the counselor is telling him, "You don't get involved in his affairs. You don't getting involved in his affairs." He is warning him. Is it that it's a possessiveness, or is it that he's actually helping? Again, we cannot actually make a clear-cut distinction that is it a possessiveness or is it actually a help. Only you can know it. Therefore, for a devotee, there is always time to be an introvert. If you don't go deep, I was asking one time Radhanand Maharaj, how do you interact with your God brothers? He said, we do soul searching analysis of our heart. He said, especially with, you are saying with Niranjan Maharaj, he said, he's my good friend, so we do soul searching analysis. Is it that I am doing it? Even help also. I remember one devotee, you know, not in Bombay, in some other place. He was going out of his way. He was giving all of his money to help somebody. You know, he was not keeping his money, saving his money for his needs. He was going and giving it to everyone. Another devotee came and told, you know, this devotee is doing like that. It is not good for him because he is giving everything. So we are discussing, is it doing it to show that I am so compassionate? It can happen like that. Because you want to give charity, the charity can be a great sense gratification. So he was doing like that, and ultimately he concluded, that devotee himself said, yeah, I was falling into this trap. What was the trap? That I was helping so that others can think that I am so nice, I am so compassionate, I was enjoying that. So it is not that you have to stop helping, but rather you have to change your attitude. And how it will happen? You have to take a time to analyze yourself and get help from your God brother, that where are you going? Now, is it you are doing out of, you know, getting that special kind of feeling, special kind of gratification? So therefore it depends. Is it you are doing out of, you know, possessiveness, or is it you're doing out of Hare Krishna? No, it is not like that. It is not that we become so analytical and become paralyzed. The question is that every service involves this kind of danger, that maybe this service I am doing because, you know, I will get fame, I will get prestige, or as if I am doing it really as a concern to other party. Now therefore it is explained, when you do your sadhana properly, your programs properly, then you don't all the time think about it. You have special time for it. Otherwise, you will not be able to do any service for Krishna. All the time you are thinking, oh, this is, I am thinking like this, this is bad. I will stay in the background. No, it will not work like that. You have to do your service, and sometime while performing your devotional service to the Lord, it may happen while doing it. When the service is over, then you again have a time to analyze it. But the service is done. That is important. You cannot stop the service. That is going to happen regularly, but it is unavoidable. Yeah, when you do soul searching analysis, then you actually come to know, as we were discussing yesterday, that when you think that this is your strength, it turns out to be your greatest weakness. Because this subordinates, if you are always surrounded, I remember, you know, Radhanand Maharaj was giving one instance with one devotee, what happened with him. He said, this person was only surrounded by his subordinates. Now we always discuss in the brahmachari meetings that for a devotee there needs to be three kinds of association. One is the association of superior, where you worship him, and it is quite spontaneous because you have decided to worship. Therefore it is not difficult to worship the superior. And to preach to the younger is also quite easy. But to have friendship, one who can actually rectify your mistake, that is the most difficult one. That takes greater endeavor on the part of a disciple. You cannot go to the spiritual master all the time. You don't have the facility. This is how it is arranged. Will not have the facilities. Not everybody will have the facilities. And even if you have the facilities, sometime there is inhibition. What will he feel about me? You know, he'll feel bad about me. I'll be looked down upon by him. So therefore we don't open. And we also discussed that it is quite natural that the best comes out in front of the spiritual master. And with the younger devotees, you don't open your heart because they'll be bewildered. If you say, this is my problem, you know, I'm feeling envious of you. No, he'll say, my God, he's feeling envious of me. What about those who are equal to him? He must be feeling so much more. So where do you have the facilities to open? There, when you are with your equals. When you are with your equals, then there is a facility. And to make an equal friend is, one can be very superficial friend. You know, hi, hello, how are you, how much preaching you did, how much book you distributed. That is very superficial. But to go deep, soul searching, then comes out the real thing. Oh, these are anartha, these are contamination, these are the anarthas of my heart. So therefore that has to be there. And then only you can help others in a proper way. And then you don't need to. Sometimes either we fall into the trap of analyzing everything. You know, one time, I remember one, Maharaj was telling one time, he said, singers always have the problem. Singers have the heavenly karma, and he was quoting many stories of big devotees. Because of their nice singing, you know, sometime rather than attracting Krishna, it becomes something else. So you're saying the singers are the biggest problem. That is their heavenly karma. And one good singer, when he heard this, he became very terrified. He said, if I sing, I'll fall down. No, he never said like that. You have the quality, that is your conditioned nature. You have to doubt in it and you have to purify it. You can't avoid using it. If you are a good singer and if you don't sing, you will sing it for somebody else other than Krishna. If you are a good drum player, if you are a good speaker, and you say, no, I will not speak. I am a kathakar, if I speak, I will become proud. No, then you will do something else katha. Because that is your condition that has to be purified. So therefore, it is very important that we have a time for analyzing our performance in devotional service. And that is helped by a co-devotee, one who is very close friend to us. And that is the biggest endeavor. And one devotee asked one very senior person, and he expressed, I am loner, I am nobody. And especially when we grow, when we become so-called seniors, that is the time you reach the level where you become completely lonely. Nobody is there to help you. Yes, Vishwaroop Prabhu?
How?
Achha. That is, I think, I don't know. I didn't get any information either in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary or even exactly anybody knows. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains Krishna allowed this to happen for quite long time so that he can intensify the love of his devotees. That he explains. Intensify the love of his devotees. He allowed Kaliya to stay for a long time so that to see that how he is going to through, he is going to go through the suffering, so that to show the love of his devotee towards Krishna. That he says. He allowed Kaliya to stay for a long time. But how long, exact period is not mentioned. Yeah, immediately after then, again, that story when it took place, that is also not known. Exactly, it may be some yugas also, it is possible. Maybe it was long time, he is still existing. According to Prabhupada, he is there in Fiji Island. Therefore, there is a temple of Kaliya Krishna. Prabhupada established that temple. And in fact, our Vakreshwar Pandit Prabhu was saying when he had gone there, you know, even Prabhupada, before going to Fiji Island, he had made this comment. There is a special ceremony on some day of the year. All the Fiji Island people, not only the Hindus, the local people also, they go and worship. You know, where they consider that there is some very extraordinary snake. And by worshipping that snake, you get all auspiciousness. So that is, their understanding is there like that. So all the locals and the Hindus go there and worship in that Fiji Island in special place. Krishna, please.
And we try to be compassionate to him, we try to, you know, give him subtle hints that he should reform himself, but that person views it as if he is envious of you. And whatever you are trying to give him as hint, it is actually not becoming useful because that person is going away from you. When is such a situation, how does one try to help the other devotee?
I had asked this question to Maharaj. He said, you should do everything. You should preach, you should instruct, you should pray, and then you watch. After doing all of this thing, nothing is working. You know, you pray and just watch for the event to take place, the reaction for whatever he's doing. You can't do beyond that. You have done your duty, at least. If you don't do your duty, you will feel repentant. Oh, I should have told him. You have done your duty. Now you don't do anything else. It is up to him. If he is surrounded by good devotees who are his friends, again, that is the problem. If you are successful, if somebody comes and tells you, that is a big problem. You think that, you know, they are envious of me. And even if somebody is envious of you, what is the problem in rectifying? Because even if he is telling with a wrong intention, just like in Marathis also it is said, Nindaka, those who are Nindaka asave shezari. Nindaka che ghar asave shezari. That those who are criticizing, their house should be next to your home. Because, and at least they are saying false, you can rectify. Even in Kannada there is a song, that all the people, those, what is that song, Gopinath, you know, Purandar Das? The song says that the people who criticize you, they should be there next to you, just like the pigs are there on the banks of small lakes. Because the pigs, what do? They eat stool. So, similarly, the person who is criticizing, he is taking out all of your bad qualities. So if you take it like that, also it is beneficial. But if you think that I am so big and they are envious of me, then that's very dangerous. So when you do that, if he is not learning his lesson, Krishna will teach the lesson. There is no other choice for him. He had to learn his lesson and somebody will teach him. No, not like that. I'll tell you, very, you know, practical experience. When somebody genuinely appreciates you, there has to be tears in your eyes. And somebody genuinely criticizes you, there has to be tears in your eyes. If somebody flatters you, then you puff up like a frog. And unfortunately, sometime in the name of appreciating or encouraging, you go beyond what actually that person is. When you flatter, it goes into the head, not goes into the heart. Because one time, one Madhya Sampradaya sannyasi, Pejavar Swami, was mentioning, he completed his sannyas, 65 years of sannyas, and they had a ceremony for him. And everybody was praising him. And then he came to speak. And he said, all of you are praising me, but because you are nice gentlemen, what you are doing actually, you want to tell me that this is what you are supposed to be, but you are lacking in this, but in the name of praise you are doing it. So I will try to come to your expectation even though I don't have these qualities. He said, I don't have these qualities, but rather than telling me you should be like this, you are telling I am already like this. So I will come to that platform. Prithu Maharaj told in the fourth canto also, same thing. So therefore, you know, one who is praising also should be careful that he should not go beyond. Calling somebody practitioner Mahabhagavat is a, what? It is a flattery, it is not a praise. Huh? Calling a practitioner a pure devotee is not a praise, it is a flattery. One can is a very serious practitioner, but to call somebody a pure devotee amongst the same group is not a right understanding. So therefore, even the counselor should understand, the leader and the president of the temple, even the guru, everybody is a practitioner. A guru's position is not eternal. The disciple's position is eternal. Because guru is always disciple to his guru. He is only guru to a circumstances where he is surrounded by his disciple. But his position as a disciple is eternal. That can never change. So if you understand that this position is eternal and this position is temporary. Bhavananpur was explaining, when you go back to Krishna in the spiritual world, what the guru do? He just pushes in the woods of Vrindavan. Then you are on your own with Krishna. He goes back. But of course the disciple would like to have his guru with him. But the guru, he says, now you go alone in the company of Krishna. So therefore, when we have, you know, celebrations, either of the spiritual master or of any other devotee, one of the instructions given that don't compare or equate your spiritual master with, you know, Srila Prabhupada or the previous acharyas. And if the spiritual master is saying like that, what to speak of us? Therefore, when the genuine praise is there, we should expect praise from somebody who is very close to us. Because when he does it, And somebody one who is not close to us, if he comes and tries to rectify us, we become angry. That is natural. But if somebody who is very close to us, he rectifies. I can give a personal example. You know, when Maharaj chastises, there has to be tears. You can't avoid. Huh? I've gone through this. And many of our devotees have gone through. And then he has genuinely praised also, there is a tears. You can't avoid. One time, Shyamananda Prabhu asked this question about one devotee whom Maharaj is praising, and apparently from other's angle, this devotee had no such qualities. So he asked him, Maharaj, are you doing it to encourage? Or is it that you are seeing the future prospects? Huh? Are you seeing the character of the soul? What is it? He said, very confusing. He simply smiled, no answer. So therefore, it is very important that we should not make an event. Prabhupada wanted encouragement. He told one Indian gentleman, he was being very skeptical about his movement. Prabhupada said, you are being very discouraging. No, Swamiji, I am not discouraging. He said, no, you are discouraging. He said, why don't you encourage? I am doing something, why don't you encourage? He was not seeking flattery, but he was seeking encouragement. Encouragement is different from flattery. And everybody needs that. In the third canto Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada explains, when Hiranyaksha was condemning Lord Varaha, Prabhupada calls that as a discouragement. Varadeva felt bad. He was discouraging the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada writes, God is also person. He is a supreme person. He has got supreme finer sentiments. When a devotee praises the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he feels encouraged. So when we understand this principle, if God is person, therefore, when those who think that, you know, that they praise God, which is nothing but blasphemy, you know, God feels hurt. The Lord feels hurt. And what to speak of the living entities? Therefore, in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna is speaking about Daiva and Asura, he said immediately, Arjun, but you are from Daivi Sampatti. And Prabhupada writes, Krishna made Arjuna feel encouraged. Because there can be a confusion in Arjuna that, is it I am a demonic? Krishna said, no, you are not demonic, you are divine. In the 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, after speaking the dynasty of Dhruva Maharaj, Priyavrat, there was some kind of, you know, feeling in Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj was feeling, just see, these dynasties are so great. The Lord personally appeared in this dynasty. And Sukadeva Goswami could feel that Parikshit is feeling discouraged. That is how speaker can analyze, you know, his listener. And Parikshit Maharaj was told by Sukadeva Goswami, don't worry. He said, you are so great. Then maybe the Lord did not appear in your family, but he became subservient to your family members. He became chariot driver. He became message carrier. In fact, he was washing feet of all the hosts of Pandavas. So your fortune is not less. That is encouragement. So therefore it is very important that we don't flatter, but we don't stop encouraging. We have to do that. So last question, we have our guest. We'll first welcome the Dharmadhikari of Badrinathan. You'll announce.